Today, we're going to welcome Jocelyn Lamprey to the Golden Home Fitness podcast. Jocelyn is a registered dietitian that we've begun working with for some of our clients to add some extra value. Welcome, Jocelyn.
Awesome. Great. Thanks, Will. I'm honored to be a part of this program and Golden Home Fitness. You guys have a really unique approach with bringing wellness to the customer in home, and that's kind of my mantra as well, and making it more of a custom fit to you because everybody lives a different lifestyle. So it's great to be here with you.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Sweet. So we're going to get right into it. First, just kind of start out who you are, just give people some background, as well as how you got into doing what you're doing now. I know you just started your own company in the last year, which was super exciting. And so now kind of you're doing your own thing, helping people out. Just kind of get into some of that, as well as some of how and why you started it with being a registered dietitian.
Yeah, absolutely. So my story is, you know, probably not terribly unique, but it also, I've been really true to myself to go with what I think was best for me. And so, you know, growing up, it's really hard to understand, you know, what healthy actually is with all the media out there. And as a young girl, you know, there's a lot of push as far as like you need to look a certain way. And so I kind of went through times that were challenging as far as what is actually healthy. And I was very lucky in high school. My physical education teacher, actually, he was married to a registered dietitian. And so we did a ton of projects with nutrition and different things to learn and to discover what works best for you health-wise. And I kind of fell in love with it and that approach. And I noticed that, you know, a lot of people really didn't understand thoroughly nutrition and what it does for us. I mean, now, it's definitely getting more and more out there, which is awesome. But, you know, 15 years ago, when I was in high school and everything, it wasn't really like that. So that's why I really liked nutrition. So that's kind of the path I went down. I went to Syracuse University. I had a lot of different experiences, which is cool. I studied abroad in Italy and learned about the Mediterranean diet and got a lot of experience with the history of food and how a lot of different crops originated where and how it got to different places and why people in different cultures eat different things. So I have kind of a different background as far as not just the science of disease and how nutrition can help with preventing and managing diseases, but also just like the cultural aspect of it, which I think just also embellishes my ability to relate to people and what they're actually doing. So through college, I had some great experiences there. When I got out of college, I worked for a corporate company as a wellness coach, which was enriching to a certain degree, but I've always wanted to own my own business. And I've really developed a niche for coaching and doing classes and working with people on a level of more of a holistic approach versus just like the diagnostic. And I kind of felt like my hands were tied working with a healthcare company because you have to diagnose people and you have to prescribe certain things with nutrition and really stick to certain topics in order for reimbursement purposes. And I felt like I wasn't reaching people to the a caliber that I had the potential to. So I started my own business. And now what I do is I do focus on nutrition, obviously. It's a big part of everybody's health and a big contributor to wellness or sickness. But I also focus on what I like to call the five pillars of health, which includes medication management, stress, sleep, diet, and exercise. Did I miss something? I might have missed one. But so there's five pillars of health and they all intertwine. And if one is off balance, say you're not sleeping, then that's going to affect ultimately your hormones, your appetite, and your health. So sometimes I will have a half hour conversation working with people to develop a plan to get better rest, to fall asleep better, to decrease their stress levels that could affect their sleep. So I don't only focus on nutrition, and that's part of the reason why I want to do my own business doing this is because, yes, ultimately I really do focus on a lot of food choices and things with people, but there's always that merit to working on those other pillars of health in addition to just the nutrition piece because it all kind of ties into one at the end of the day. So that's kind of how I got to where I am in my philosophy in a nutshell. And yeah, that's what I'm doing so far.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love that whole picture approach, looking at everyone, and the image that you get with the five pillars is really cool too, because you can really see how, you know, if someone's super stressed out, even if they're eating a ton, I mean, eating healthy a lot, or eating, if they're eating well, they're exercising well, but if they're just incredibly stressed,
their blood pressure might still be high, their cholesterol might still be high, because those hormones, like stress is a response, like a nervous system response, fight or flight, and things happen in the body that your lab values still might not reflect good health because of something like stress. So, and also it, like, stress can trigger like unhealthy eating patterns and things like that. So you have to really address those other areas that we don't typically think about in order to be at our best.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, one thing I know we've talked about before is how you also work with a lot of people on their behavioral changes, and how, you know, having the best information in the world is great, but if people don't act on it, that's a huge roadblock. So you want to just walk a little bit through how you coach people through that behavioral change?
Absolutely. So when I meet with people, obviously people have 1,000 different ideas of what they can do to improve their well-being, and there's no wrong answer. You know, all these thousands of ideas, those are good ideas. But if you try to take on all of those ideas at once, you're setting yourself up for failure. So after we do the initial assessment and we both identify opportunities, there might be a list of like 12 opportunities, but we're not going to focus on that. You know, we're going to really hone in on maybe one or two really specific things that they can really master, so that they're setting themselves up for success. Like it's like anything. Say you wanted to learn a sport. You're not going to go out and try out for the captain's team where you need to have like 20 different skills to make it and just wing it, because then you're not going to ever want to play again, because you're going to feel like you're awful at it. It's the same thing with trying to develop more of a healthy lifestyle. If you're not typically exercising and you're not typically, you know, cooking your own meals, and you're not, you know, doing mindful practices, and you're really stressed out, it doesn't make sense to do all, like, work on all of those things. You might want to pick on, okay, well, let's start with nutrition. And it might be really small with nutrition. You're not going to meal prep all your meals and your snacks, you know, and cut out soda and cut out fast food. You know, you really want to focus on like one thing and start small. So, for example, a lot of times what's easy for people to start is something that they probably won't miss, or something they're just not mindful about in the first place, like the candy dish in the middle of the office. I've had clients who obviously they're like, I really graze a lot, and they know that. So that's something that they've identified and they've recognized. And I don't try to tell people what to do. I tell them, I provide education and maybe a direction. Like I always say, you're in the driver's seat and I'm in the passenger seat, just helping you navigate. So something that they might come up with as a goal, and I try to make it a SMART goal. So specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive. So basically a goal that about like a candy dish would be, for example, I am only going to allow myself one small kid size candy bar, like those itty bitty Snickers that are like an inch in diameter and width and everything. So at the very end of the day, you get that one little treat, then you're out the door, so you're not like triggered to have more. So instead of allowing yourself to just eat it whenever you see it, you're probably cutting it down from like 10 a day to one a day, which it might sound like, well, that's not good for you to even have one a day, but the idea is to set yourself up for success, so it's realistic, so that over time maybe you don't even want that at the end of the day because you haven't been thinking about it. So that's the idea, is to really set yourself up for success with small specific goals and then master it. So maybe that's the one goal for 7 days. You're going to work on that. And then when you feel confident, you can bring in more goals and then they'll stick. And that's, you know, building sustainability so that over the course of, think about in 5 years how far you'll come if you just take it a little bit day by day, as you know, my whole mantra is. So that's kind of how I kind of approach goal setting and helping people. And I find that it's very successful versus just designing this packet of meal plans and recommendations and then give it to it and say, here you go. Because everybody kind of knows what to do, but it's like getting there. It's not easy. It's absolutely not easy.
Definitely, definitely not. And it's still good. You can be there. The language you use was perfect. Kind of, you said in that passenger seat, being the navigator. Sometimes it seems like coaches can get a really big ego and you know, want to be the hero that comes in and, you know, they're the person that does all the work.
And sometimes they put us, and sometimes I feel like they put us on that pedestal, so it's easy to be in that role. But I guess, I don't know why, I always really tell people to, like, you know yourself best than anyone else in the entire world. So they know what works and what doesn't work. So if I suggest all things that work for me, then, you know, that's not necessarily going to work for them. So it's usually more of a win-win to kind of set it up as in, you're the expert here, and then I'm here just to kind of embellish that.
Totally, totally. That's great. Another thing you mentioned that stuck out, I feel like when people are, you know, set all these goals and, you know, you're going to do all these things this year or whatever, trying to do everything all at once, a lot of people understand maybe that there's a low chance of success, but you talked about how trying to do that can actually radically decrease your motivation to even try at all. I think that's something that, you know, necessarily isn't talked about a lot. And I think that's really important how you discuss that way.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I think everybody can relate to it on like the exercise level, especially because I'm sure there's been a time in everybody's life where they're just like, oh my gosh, I need to get into the program. So they'll go to the gym like 3 to 5 days in a row, an hour each, doing different muscle groups and like all kinds of cardio. And then they can't move. Like, you literally can't move for like a week or two after. You need to start it up again because of how much pain you are in and how much it just kind of flopped your whole schedule. And I'm sure it was unrealistic in the first place, because you weren't really planning ahead as far as like, okay, so how am I going to fit into my schedule? And is it really realistic to try to do that every single day for the rest of your life? Probably not. So starting out small, especially with something like exercise too, like fitting in like 10 to 20 minutes here, if you don't exercise regularly at the start, it not only helps muscle wise, so you're not sore and don't ever want to move again, but it also helps with just time management. People get overwhelmed with dedicating so much time to an exercise routine, and it seems super daunting. But if you start small, you'll get into that routine and you'll start enjoying it, and then you'll be able to carve out more time to stick to it.
Totally, totally. And the whole kind of getting into exercise could be a whole podcast unto itself, I'm sure.
Right. Sure.
Maybe we should do that. Was there anything else you wanted to add on to that? Just kind of that whole discussion.
I honestly think that I kind of wrapped it up in a nutshell. So that's kind of my approach and how we do goal setting. So yeah, I mean, we can move on to some pointers if you wanted to go on to that.
Sure.
Subject.
Let's just give people a couple quick tips for, you know, a lot of people are thinking about nutrition and getting healthy and well, you know, what time of year. So just give a couple quick tips that you think could help people out.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I just want to put in like the disclaimer of like, I've done a lot of, I guess, just thinking about why people want to jump on the bandwagon of health in the new year. And I want to say that if you're feeling that way, do it. Don't feel like, oh, I'm just doing it because it's New Year's resolution time. You know, there's a lot of reasons why I feel like people do it in the first place. After the holidays, people have had a good amount of time off, so they're feeling rejuvenated. They're ready to just tackle this new year. So go right ahead. To do it successfully, though, as I kind of said before, in the new year, try to, if you use like an agenda or you use a calendar, look at it and say, when do I maybe have some open time to even just think about what might work? So if you wanted to start exercising more, so the first milestone you really want to try to meet for exercise, according to like national standards and recommendations, and Will, you can, I know you're the personal trainer, but it's usually about 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week. And so moderate kind of is considered if you're exercising and you can talk pretty comfortably, but singing would be relatively difficult. So that may be like brisk walking, dancing. You could be on the treadmill. It could be on the elliptical or doing a class like spin. That's moderate exercise. And so you don't want to try to reach the 150 minutes right away. So you might want to look at your calendar and say, okay, so 2 days a week, I'm going to wake up, 30 minutes early. And I'm going to, if you have something in home, I'm going to do like an online program for 30 minutes. So trying to just start small and figure out what works for your schedule, and just start there and really master it, and use a monitoring piece. So if you have a calendar, like cross off the days that you accomplish what you're accomplishing so that you can always look back and say, wow, I'm now doing this 5 days a week. And like a month ago, I was only doing it twice a week. So, always monitor what you're doing so you can see how far you've come. Nutrition wise, there's a lot of different things you can do to start. It just depends where you are. So for a lot of people, it might be you want to really eat a healthier lunch because you're crazy during the work week. You're buying like pizza subs. People are bringing things into work. So something small that maybe you could do for yourself on the weekend could be even just cooking up a bunch of chicken and like maybe sauteing or baking a bunch of vegetables to have a bunch of things prepped. And it doesn't have to be very exciting, especially when you're first starting out. Just choosing like lean proteins and some non-starchy vegetables and maybe a whole grain or whole grain pasta or a whole grain like quinoa or brown rice. And having some containers in the refrigerator, even if you start at bringing your lunch in 2 to 3 days a week, because before you were getting it out 5 days a week. So that's a huge improvement. You don't want to jump from zero to everything at once, but just kind of mastering that slow process. Another thing could be just journaling your food. If you have no idea what you're doing or what that looks like, just being mindful and writing down what you're doing, whether that be on an app like MyFitnessPal or on a piece of paper, you'll be aware of when you're eating, how much you're eating, and what you're eating. You might learn, like, oh my gosh, at night in front of the TV, I am snacking so much. And so it just learning about what you're doing is always the first step as well. During this time of year, it's terribly, if you want to focus on water intake, that could really help just keep your immune system well. And water is always really important. A lot of times if you're feeling like you have the munchies or you're hungry, you might actually just be thirsty. So just always trying to drink beverages that don't have many calories. A good choice. I like seltzer water a lot to get the bubbles. So if you like soda a lot, maybe trying to 50-50 do seltzer and then soda for a while to just kind of cut back on that extra sugar. So yeah, so there's lots of things you can do. I'm sure you can think of others that I didn't even mention. It's the biggest thing is really making a game plan though. Like when are you going to be successful? What's going to get in the way? Try to anticipate those barriers so that you can meet them head on. So yeah, I don't know if you have any additional thoughts on that, Will.
I think that was great. I mean, you covered a lot of ground. That was definitely a thing that'll be really helpful for a lot of people.
Cool. Awesome.
Sweet. So then we'll just finish up. At the end, we'll get your contact info, how people can get in touch with you, and we'll just get a fun kind of question first. So let's say you're having a healthy dinner party, and you get to invite some dinner guests. You got three guests you can invite. They can be alive, they can be dead, they can be fictional. They just have to be able to talk. Who are you going to invite?
Oh, boy. Okay, this is great. I would love to invite. I would love to invite.
Take your time.
I'm trying to think who would be really cool to meet and to talk to and have lunch with. I think, well, I just saw a movie, but Will Smith is really cool and really funny and really smart. So I would probably want to invite him.
Nice.
Let's see. I'm trying to think from the nutrition world. Really bad with names. They're, see. So I got one. I gotta choose two more.
Yep, that's
Do
it.
they have to compliment each other? Do they have to like Will Smith?
If you want them to, or they could hate Will Smith. It's kind of up to you. This could turn
Yeah.
into
This is
a
gonna sound
fight.
like I've always, and another person who is really insightful. She also has had a lot of ups and downs with weight and in the public in the past. But Oprah Winfrey is an incredible person, and she would be very interesting to have on at a lunch party. And so now I'm just choosing celebrities. Who else can I choose? I guess I can choose. What's that?
Oh, I was just gonna say they could be, from 1,000 years ago, they could be dead, be your favorite fictional character,
Yeah.
and any,
Okay. All right. I gotta dig deep.
could be your mom, it could be
Okay.
your cousin, whoever.
Yeah. I would choose. So my great grandfather on my father's side was an incredible man, and he started his own business as well. And I never really got to know him because he passed away when I was like 12. And I remember just really regretting not being able to really get to know him because I just felt like he was so smart and wise, and obviously probably has a ton of funny stories of my grandfather growing up. So I definitely would want to have him come as well.
I love that. It's beautiful.
All right. So Will Smith, Oprah, and my great grandfather. That's going to be an interesting dinner party.
Oh yeah. What's for dinner?
What's for dinner? One of my favorite things to make that's super delicious, and I feel like people don't ever have it, is it's a salad that has pasta in it. So it's made of spinach. It's all like baby spinach leaves. It has orzo. You could cook up some orzo pasta, pine nuts, mandarin oranges, feta cheese. Is it feta cheese? No, I don't think it's feta cheese. It might be just some cheddar cheese, and then some like low sodium teriyaki dressing. And it sounds like a really bizarre combination, but it's actually extremely delicious, and it's one of my favorites.
That sounds really good.
It's really good. Oh, and
Oh
craisins.
yes. Staple.
The craisins. So that's what's on the menu.
Nice. I'm sure they'll love it.
Hopefully.
Maybe Oprah Winfrey can get you a distribution deal for the salad to be in every grocery store in the country or something.
Yes, and you get a salad, and you get a salad, and you get
That's awesome.
a salad. Cool.
Well, this has been so much fun and so much so insightful for listeners, I'm sure, definitely for me as well. So how should people get in contact with you?
Sure. Yeah. So I have a website. It's www.daybydaynutrition.org. It has a lot of my services on there and contact information. Obviously, you could always email me as well at Jocelyn, J-O-C-E-L-I-N, at daybydaynutrition.org. My phone number is 781-779-5877. So feel free to get in contact with me anytime. If you have any questions or inquiries, I'd be happy to talk to anybody about anything.
For sure. Perfect. We'll link all those up in the show notes. That'll be available on the Golden Home Fitness website in the blog section. And if Will Smith or Oprah Winfrey gets a listen, or if someone can forward this to them, maybe that we'll set up a dinner party or something. So.
Yeah, perfect. Love it. Well, thanks so much, Will, and Golden Home Fitness. It's been an awesome, just eye-opening opportunity as well, as far as doing like these things like podcasts is very cool, and I'm looking forward to doing more in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Will.
Yep. Take care.
You too.